In the name of Jesus, that as we hear your word, you would teach us, open up our eyes to see this revelation, open up our hearts to receive the encouragement that you give us through your word. I pray that you would root out distractions, the form of text messages and phone calls and social media prompts, things that would get in the way of us hearing from you in this moment. We thank you, we love you, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen, you can be seated. You can make it. You can make it. I don't know, family, if you've ever been in a situation, maybe it wasn't too serious, maybe it was kind of casual and playful, where you felt like you couldn't make it. How many of y'all have ever been in a situation where you felt like you couldn't make it before? Just to kind of lighten it up a little bit, I remember I had this love-hate relationship with roller coasters. And I remember during my youth pastor days, every summer we would have a summer camp for about six weeks, I think. And every Friday we would take the kids to Busch Gardens. And every Friday, the kids and our young people, they would always be like, Pastor Jones, you got to get on this roller coaster. I was like, nah, fam, I ain't doing that. You see them drops. Like, I don't do the drops, fam. I'm here. I'm not here. Ground level, fam. And so, you know, they always try to be, you know, roasting me and clowning me and joking me. Like, oh, you scared? No, I'm smart. I remember my engineering professor when I was during my time of engineering before the Lord called me out, which I had no idea of. But I remember taking a class and one of my senior professors, he always talked about in our senior engineering class, he said, I don't know how people get on roller coasters. And everybody was like, Mr. Hatworth, Dr. Hatworth, what do you mean? He was like, because I work on roller coasters all the time at Busch Gardens. And I had to come in and fix it. And there's no way you could pay me to ride the roller coaster, ride these crazy roller coasters. And I was like, man, in Jesus' name, yes. You know, there's only but so high we're supposed to go. And the Bible talks about if you exalt yourself, you'll be humbled. And so I'm like, I ain't trying to go high. I'm trying to be low to Jesus, you know? So I remember every Friday I always get clowned and I always get joked. And so there was, you know, Apollo's Chariot you know, it was Big Bad Wolf before it turned into, what's the new joint? Verboten now. But then when we were taking them there, there was this new roller coaster called the Griffin. How many of y'all know about Griffin if y'all from the local area? And this was a ride where it would take you all the way up and bring you to the top and just pause you right here looking straight down. I said, no, that's not of God. That's from Satan, that right there. And I remember there was a few years that went by. I was like, I'm not getting on that. Like, I don't care what y'all say. Y'all can clown me. Y'all can joke me. Like, whatever. Like, I'm driving this van, so you can clown me all you want to. I'll leave you here. Don't y'all forget. But then one year, they talked me into it. And I remember as we were coming around that curve and we were going up, and I'm like, what did I get myself into? And as you're hearing the click, clack, the da-da-da-da-da-da-da, as you're going up, I'm going to see, here we go. Jesus, take the wheel. Stop this right now in Jesus' name. You know, you start speaking in tongues and you know, in Jesus' name, I hope this thing stops right now and they got to get us all off the ride. Didn't work. It's almost like Jesus said, no, you going to go through this? And I remember getting to the edge of the drop, and we were sitting there, and we were in the back row. And if you know anything about the front or the back row, it is most intense in the front and the back. I don't know what I was thinking that day. But I remember one of the kids said, oh, Pastor, you gonna make it. You're going to be good. And then next thing you know, the drop happened. I about threw up on everybody. And then to add insult to injury, there was another drop right after that. And I thought about that when I think about this passage, because I wonder how many times we have walked through these roller coaster moments in life where we begin to walk through some things and we felt like as we begin to see it play out, I don't think I'm going to make this. I don't think I'm going to be able to walk through this. I don't think I'm going to be able to get through this. I think many of us can identify with that, because yours might not have been an actual ride at Busch Gardens named Griffin, but you have walked through some things, and are currently some of you walking through some things right now where you're looking at it and you're like, I don't know if I'm going to make it. And if you feel like that, I want to let you know that you're in good company. Because the Apostle Paul, who writes and pens under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, can identify with this. Now, to give you some context, the Apostle Paul was somebody that God used incredibly to plant churches, and not just to plant any type of churches, but to plant churches like ours, which is diverse across age and ethnicity and color and background, because the gospel is for everybody, by the way. And so God used him to plant these churches. But what was interesting, what was happening in Paul's time, was people were beginning to throw shade at the Apostle Paul's authority as an apostle. They begin to call into question Paul's ministry. Very similar to how people begin to call in question my Philadelphia Eagles. What is wrong with you? See, I didn't know I was going to throw that in there, huh? Y'all saw what it was last night, huh? Sorry, Jesus, I'm back. I'm letting y'all know, y'all better pray my boys don't go to the Super Bowl, because y'all just don't even come, well, come to church that Sunday, but in case you're new here, we love to have fun, we love to joke, the joy of the Lord is our strength. But people were calling into question Paul's authority as an apostle, and it was these so-called, what he called, super apostles, who were beginning to say, no, Paul, we the real apostles. And so Paul was constantly in this tug of war, not just with them, but now this negative and this toxic theology was now beginning to creep into the churches, specifically into the church of Corinth. And now what happens is in the early part of 2 Corinthians, especially like around chapter 10 and chapter 11, you begin to see Paul begin to kind of pull a Rolodex of his ministry. He begins to kind of run down the record of like, hold on, let me kind of show y'all that you're not dealing with a jackleg apostle. But he doesn't begin to boast in his accomplishments. He actually begins to boast in his difficulties. So in 2 Corinthians 11, he talks about how he was shipwrecked and how he was, facing death on many occasions. He talks about how he went through sleepless nights and how he dealt with hunger and how he dealt with pain. But then he takes it up a notch. Because now when we get to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he says, I know a guy who got caught up to the third heaven 14 years ago. And he got caught up to heaven, and the things that he saw, humans were not permitted to speak in words. I know a guy, and he's like winking, who went and saw the throne room of God. This is what he talks about in verse 2. I know a man in Christ who was caught up to the third heaven 14 years ago. This is the place where God ultimately dwells. In biblical terminology, there's oftentimes known as three different heavens. You got the first heaven, and that's oftentimes speaking of what we can see, kind of like the sky and that level, if you will. And then you got the second heaven, which is space and the cosmos and all the constellations. But then you have the third heaven, which is somewhere that you and I can't see with the natural eye, which is where God dwells. It is the space behind the space behind the space. And Paul was like, y'all ever been there? Because I know a guy. I know a guy who went there. And so jump down to verse 6. He says, for if I want to boast, I wouldn't be a fool, because I would be telling the truth. But I will spare you so that no one can credit me with something beyond what he sees in me or hears from me, especially because of the extraordinary revelations. But watch this. Therefore, so that I would not exalt myself, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Watch this. So that I would not exalt myself. And concerning this, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it would leave me. I pleaded, I prayed, I begged God that this thorn would leave me. Paul's thorn was chronic, and it was debilitating, and it was painful. And he asked God specifically, actually, the Bible actually talks about how he's not just asking God the Father, he's asking Jesus, because the Greek word for Lord here speaks of Jesus. He says, I ain't just going to God the Father, I'm talking to Jesus. This is so painful. Lord Jesus, I need you to do something about this. Have you ever had a moment where you said, Lord Jesus? Well, this hurts so bad. Jesus, I need you to do something about it. Now, here's the thing. The Bible doesn't tell us how long he had this thorn. The Bible doesn't tell us what this thorn was. He could have had this thorn for weeks, and he could have had this thorn for months. He could have had this thorn for years. The Bible also doesn't tell us what his thorn specifically was. Many theologians have argued what his thorn was. Some have said it was an eyesight problem. Some have said it was a mental problem. Some have said it was a spiritual problem. It was a struggle that he had with sin. Some have even said that this thorn is actually representative of some people named the Judaizers who were constantly opposing the ministry and the gospel of Jesus Christ that Paul was preaching. But I think it's in the genius of God that we don't know the thorn, so that all of us can identify with the thorn. Because here's the reality. All of us, I think, can identify with what Paul is talking about. That we've all had difficult and painful moments. So much to be, we're like, Paul, we've asked God to do something about it multiple times. He prayed not once, not twice, but three times. And in the scripture, I've said this on many occasions, whenever you see numbers, pay attention to them. Because oftentimes throughout the biblical account and the biblical narrative from Genesis to Revelation, there are certain numbers that continue to pop up frequently. Last week, I talked about how the number 12 popped up multiple times in one passage alone. Woman with the issue of blood, she had that issue for 12 years. In that same passage, it was a young girl who was sick and she was 12 years old. And Jesus healed and resurrected both of them. 12 speaks of the power of God, the authority of God. But then you see numbers like the number 3, where you see that number just popping up constantly in scripture. Three times, Paul says, take this thorn away from me. On the third day, Jesus rose with power in his hands. In the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus had his own thorny, painful moment, he asked God the Father to take the cup away three times. Whenever you see numbers, pay close attention to them because there is something about a greater revelation that God is trying to help us to see. And Paul asked God three times, take it away. Take it away. Take it away. And I just want to know, have you ever had a moment, and maybe you're there right now, where you've been in so much pain, where you've begged God to do something about it? Matter of fact, I like that Paul says thorn here. Because if you've ever had an encounter with it, how many of you guys have ever been pricked by a thorn before? It don't feel good. It's small, but it causes great pain. Rose bushes, thorn bushes, so small, but yet so painful. It's like a splinter that is with you. And matter of fact, I got one right here, and I've been messing with this thing like just for the past few weeks, and it's like, this thing is just getting on my nerves. And I can function, but it's still causing me pain. And many of us got thorns like that in our life right now. Oh, you functioning, but you still in pain. You going to work, but you still in pain. You parenting, but you still in pain. You showing up to church today, online, but you still in pain. All of us have these thorning type of moments. And thorns are so small, and it's like they're a nuisance, and it's painful, and it's inconvenient. And the question I want to ask you right now, so we can identify it in our own lives, what things right now are causing you pain? What are the thorns that you have right now in your life? It might be a habit. It might be a struggle. It might be a person that you've asked God. Come on, let's get real now. That you've asked God, God, take them away. Mm-mm. Still there. Can you just move her to another office or something? Nope, she's going to be right there tomorrow morning. All of us have these painful moments. And Paul said that this thing was so agonizing that I pleaded with the Lord Jesus to remove it three times. It wouldn't go away. It was everywhere. And here's what's crazy about it. He didn't choose it. Because very rarely do you and I choose thorns. Our thorns choose us. Very rarely do we sign up for painful situations. Painful situations have a tendency of finding us. Nobody signs up to get a diagnosis of cancer from the doctor. It found you. Nobody signs up to have to walk through experiencing loss. It finds you. Nobody has to experience or signs up to experience the pain of losing a loved one or losing a job or walking through something very difficult. No, it has a strange way of finding you. Paul wanted his thorn to be gone, but it wasn't going anywhere. It didn't get better. And I can imagine maybe the Apostle Paul saying something like this: I don't know if I can make it through this. Maybe he even asked this question: am I going to have to live with this the rest of my life? Have y'all ever prayed that prayer before? Maybe this is just going to be something that I got to live with. Maybe this is just something I'm going to have to deal with. Maybe this is just something that it's not going anywhere. Some of us have lost hope. Some of us are in despair. And some of you are here today and are in pains of all kinds, just like Paul. But I want you to see something powerful that gives us hope in the midst of this, in this text. In the midst of Paul's pain, these first few words of verse 9, Paul says, I pleaded with the Lord multiple times, three times, that it would leave me. Verse 9, watch what it says. But he said to me, y'all missed it. I asked the Lord three times, but he said. I'm going to say it again because I don't think y'all got it. I asked the Lord, but he said to me. Why am I focusing on this? Because in the midst of the pain and the suffering of what Paul was experiencing, Jesus spoke to him. Why is that important for you to recognize today? Because it means no matter how bad it is, Jesus finds a way to meet you where you are and speaks to you where you are and comes to where you are. Speaks to him. And if you find yourself battling thoughts of whether I can make it, and I don't know if I can deal with this, and I don't know if I can get through this because of the season that you're in, and because of the struggle that you're experiencing, and because of the challenge that you're facing, and because of the diagnosis that you received, or whatever it is that has you feeling discouraged today, heaven has a word for you today, and it's a word of help, and it says this: you can make it. I know you feel discouraged, but you can make it. I know it looks dark right now, but you can make it. I know it looks bleak right now, but you can make it. I know it looks like it's not going to work out right now, but you can make it. You can make it. And it looks like you might not, but you can. And it looks like it won't get better, but it actually can. And it doesn't look like it might change, but it can. And I know it looks hopeless right now, but I want you to know that we serve a God who is able to bring hope to hopeless situations. I want you to know today, online and in person, that you can make it. And if you could be honest, some of you, many of you, I know some of your stories, you've had moments in your life where you didn't think you could make it. You didn't know how you would make it through the semester. You didn't know how you would make it through the diagnosis. You didn't know how you would make it through that dark time that you were walking through. But God, you didn't know how you were going to overcome it. But God, you didn't know how things were going to turn around. But God, that's what's happening here in this passage of scripture. Paul was in pain, but Jesus spoke. And here's the good news today, that no matter what it is that you're walking through, all of us can have a but God moment. And some of you got some but God moments in here. You wanted to quit, but God, you wanted to give up, but God, you wanted to throw in the towel, but God. And I just want to know, is anybody here today that has any but God moments right here where you can look back over your life and you can see all the things that were coming at your way, but God, who is rich in mercy, he shows you grace, and he shows you love, and he shows you his power. But God. And I want to let you know in here that every single person is a candidate to have a but God moment. It don't matter how young you are. It don't matter how old you are. God is the but God type of one who is able to bring forth transformation to dark places. That's why the Bible says that weeping endures for a night, but joy comes in the morning. That's why the Bible says that he will give beauty for ashes. That's why the Bible says you turn my mourning into dancing. Why? Because God got in the middle of the thing that you were dealing with. And I'm here to let you know that whatever you came in here with this morning and whatever you're carrying with you right now, God is the one who gets in the middle. God is the one who shows up. God is the one who could bring forth hope in the midst of hopeless situations. Which means this, that when you and I experience pains and thorns that come in our life, we got good news. That number one, we're not walking through this by ourselves, but that he's with us. And here's what I recognize, y'all. I want you to get this. The enemy uses thorns to discourage us, but God uses thorns to direct us. The enemy uses thorns to discourage us, to not trust God, to lose hope, and to not have faith. But God actually uses thorns to drive us closer to Him. God uses the painful moments as invitations to His presence. So if some of you are in here right now and you're in pain, and I know you came in here on Sunday morning, you got your little Sunday outfit on, you got your hair did, you got your edge up all lined up, you know, you sprayed your hair, all that good stuff, and you ironed your clothes, and you look good, and you got a smile on your face. But I know, because of pastoring for a long time, that behind a lot of smiles, there's a lot of pain. That you could be smiling on the outside and be weeping and grieving on the inside. I'm here to let you know that God has a word even for you. That abundance is still applicable even in spite of affliction. Because the enemy will convince you to think that abundance means that you will have a pain-free life and that abundance means that nothing in your life will go wrong. No. No, abundance is in season and out of season. Abundance is when things are going well and even when things are not going well, because He has not changed. He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. His grace is still sufficient. His power is still present. His love is still unconditional. His love is still unlimited. It doesn't matter. Season you in, abundance is still for you. And some of you have walked in this morning thinking, Pastor, I'm in so much pain right now, and is the word for me? I'm here to let you know it is, and the word is, you can make it because of His abundance. You can make it. Jesus says, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. What life is He talking about? He's talking about His life. And the last time I checked, when we look at the life of Jesus, Jesus overcame things. Jesus walked on water. Jesus got out of the grave on the third day. Jesus healed sickness. And Jesus raised dead people back to life. That's the type of life that you and I have access to. Jesus is saying, if you connect it to me, that same life that's in me will now flow to you. And it's not based upon whether you're going through affliction. And as we'll learn here in a moment, sometimes the affliction is the doorway to abundance. And I know many of us in here, we've been trying to wish our affliction away and wish difficult situations away. I'm not saying don't pray for breakthrough. I'm not saying that. No, I think we should do that. But here's what I'm also trying to help us understand. There are certain things about God that you don't see had you not walked through what you walked through. How can I know that He is a healer if I never got a negative report? You know it from what you read, but you ain't lived it yet. And there's a difference between knowing something and living something. And what Paul is learning here, as we're going to learn in a moment, oh, Paul, you can make it even through your thorn. And here's what the scripture teaches us. I want to give us these two thoughts. How can we make it through what we're experiencing? By knowing this, He has what you need to make it. God has what you need to make it. Look at verse 8. Concerning this, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it would leave me. But verse 9, He says this. But He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in weakness. Paul is pleading. He is begging Jesus, would you take away this thorn? Three times he prayed this prayer, y'all. Might have even been fasting about it. Praying. And what the enemy will convince us of, that God is not good if He doesn't answer our prayers the way that we want Him to. That's a very narrow-minded way to look at who God is. Because if He only does what you and I want Him to do, He's not God, He's a genie. And last time I checked, Jesus ain't blue. He don't sing songs like you got a friend in me. No. He says, I don't have to do it the way that you want me to show you that I have power over it. Matter of fact, Paul, I can leave this thorn here and still show you that I'm enough. And it's almost like he said, matter of fact, I'm going to show you. I know you're praying, and I know you're pleading, but I got these words for you, Paul. My grace is sufficient. He says, my grace, meaning it belongs to Him. What is grace? Grace is God's provision for our every need when we need it. One person said it like this: God's grace is this. They made an acrostic and an acronym. It is God's riches at Christ's expense. At Christ's expense, meaning this: Jesus paid for it so that you and I could have access to it. He went to the cross so that way you and I could experience his glorious love and power. He says, my grace is sufficient. One person said it like this: grace is God helping a humanity that can't help himself. But then he doesn't just say my grace, he says my grace is sufficient. You know what that word sufficient means? Enough. And God's grace in scripture serves multiple purposes. One purpose is this: it is a saving grace. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 through 9 says that you are saved by grace through faith, not by works, so no person can boast. Meaning this, that the way that we get into relationship with God is not by what we do. It's by believing in what God did for us through Christ Jesus. We're saved by grace. Grace is, it is a gift that you and I did not earn. It is a gift that you and I did not work for. It is a gift that you and I did not labor for. It is simply God giving to us what you and I did not even know what to ask. It is God doing something for us that you and I could not do for ourselves. Meaning this, the reason why you and I still have breath in our body is not because of some type of physiological thing. It's because of God's grace. The reason why you made it through the dark thing that you went through was not because of luck. It wasn't because of coincidence. It was because of his grace. And the reason why your sins are forgiven is not because you're good. It's because God's good. He says, you're saved by grace through faith. That's what Ephesians 2, chapter 2, verse 8 through 9 says. Through faith, meaning you believed in it. That's it. It's a free gift. And many people have a problem even with the Christian faith and with believing how good it is, which is why it's called good news. And some people say, that's too good to be true. And it's like, it's too good not to be true. Because it is us receiving the abundance of God's grace at Christ's expense. He did it for us. So you have saving grace, but a lot of times we stop right there. We think that God's grace is just enough just to save us from our sin. But y'all, I want to let you know something else about God's grace. It's like a two-sided coin. It's not just enough to save you. It's also good enough to sustain you, to keep you, to strengthen you, which means I don't just need grace for salvation. I need grace every day of my life. I need grace to keep me from slashing your tires when you do something. Too real? That's too real. Come on, y'all know what I'm talking about. Come on. You need grace to keep you from going off on the person at your job. You need grace as a parent from going in all the way on your kids. Students, you need grace to not retaliate when somebody coming at you sideways. All of us need grace, and we don't just need it to save us from our sin. We need it to save us from ourselves. I need this grace to sustain me. To help me every single day. Here's what the Bible says in Psalm 54, verse 4. God is my helper. The Lord is the sustainer of my life. Psalm 54, 4 says it like this. God is my helper. The Lord is the sustainer of my life. Jesus is saying here in this passage that my grace is not just capable enough to save you, but also to sustain you. I want you to write this down, that the grace of God not only saves us from our sins, it sustains us through our struggle. His grace will get you through. His grace is strong enough to help you overcome. His grace is strong enough to help you maneuver through the mess of life. His grace is strong enough to keep you grounded. And Paul prays once again, three times, Lord, take it away. Take it away. Take it away. And every single time, it seems like Jesus said, my grace is sufficient. My power is made perfect in weakness. My grace is sufficient. My power is made perfect in weakness. Can you hear Paul? Lord, this hurts so bad. Can you take this away? I don't want to have to walk through this. You ever had a moment in your life where I don't want to walk through this. I don't want to deal with this no more. How long will this continue to last? You ever said that? I feel like I've been in this holding pattern of pain for so long. How long? How long will I continue to deal with this? And it's like it's almost like, I've said this before, I'm going to say it again. It's almost like Paul is saying, I've never been in this much pain. And it's almost like Jesus is saying, but you've also never been in this much prayer. I've never been this discouraged, but you've never been this dependent on me either. And sometimes God allows us to walk through these painful moments, not to discourage us, but to bring us to a place of greater dependency on Him, where we recognize, I can't do this on my own. I need something greater than me. I can't walk through this darkness on my own. I've tried to maneuver, and I've tried to finesse it, and I can't do this any longer. I need some help. And Jesus says, my grace is sufficient. Because for your prayer, dealing with pain, there's something that I want to reveal. It's my grace, which leads now to this second portion of verse 9. And then in verse 10, I want you to notice what the Bible says. It says, for my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in weakness. And notice what Paul says next. Therefore, I will most gladly boast all the more about my weakness so that Christ's power may reside in me. Watch this, y'all. This is where it gets real weird. So I take pleasure in my weaknesses. How? How do you do that? I take pleasure in my insults. I take pleasure in hardships, persecutions, and in difficulties for the sake of Christ. For when I'm weak, then I am strong. But I want you to notice what he says. I most gladly will boast all the more about my weaknesses. Why? So that Christ's power may reside in me. It's almost like God is saying, you're trying to get something out of your life. I'm trying to get something to your life. Paul, you're praying for pain to leave. What you should really be praying is for power to step in. You're praying for the absence of pain. What you really need is the presence of power. Someone say power. And Paul is pleading with him multiple times. But then Paul comes to this revelation. I get it now. That when I'm weak, that's when I'm actually strong. And when I begin to see my weaknesses the way that you want me to see them, that's when I see your power at work in me and at work on me. And Paul is beginning to see, now this makes sense. The thorn was meant to teach me something. It was not meant to teach me that you weren't good. It was meant to teach me that you have all power. That you have power to get me through what I'm walking through. And here's what's powerful about this word power. Y'all ready for it? This word power in the Greek language of the New Testament is the Greek word dunamis. And it is where we get, from an etymological standpoint, our English word dynamite. So Paul is saying, I most gladly boast in my weaknesses now, so that Christ's explosive, space-altering, life-changing, power-lifting power can reside on me. The type of power that changes things. The type of power that causes things to look different. The kind of power that causes the demolition to the demonic strongholds that the enemy has been trying to bring to me. That type of power is the power now that begins to rest on me when I begin to see that my thorn is actually an invitation, not a limitation. And Paul here is admitting his weakness and his need for God's power. And it now has positioned him to receive the grace and to receive the power. He is tapped in to the power of God. Why? Because he is tapped into the presence of God. And this is why this season of prayer and fasting is so important for us as a church. Because what it does is it positions you and I to tap into the presence of God. And I'm here to let you know, family, you're going to walk through some crazy stuff this year. Now, I'm not being doom and gloom. I'm being real because Jesus says, in this life, you will have much trouble. I don't know what's around the corner in February. I don't know what's coming in March and April and May. I don't know what's coming, but what I do know is who's already there. What I do know is who has power over it. What I do know is the one who can do something about it. And what Jesus wants us to do is to tap into his presence so we can now tap into his power. Because something begins to happen when we seek him intentionally. Something begins to happen when we call on the name of Jesus, that at the name of Jesus, every knee bows and every tongue must confess that he is Lord. That means cancer has to bow. That means diagnosis has to bow. That means depression has to bow. That means anxiety has to bow. That means lack has to bow. That means poverty has to bow. That means darkness has to bow. That at the name of Jesus, that powerful name, that earth-changing name, that earth-altering name, that saving name, that merciful name, that graceful name, that name of Jesus, that when we tap into the name of Jesus, we have tapped into the power that can change things. And I just want to know, is anybody here today that says, I don't need a whole lot more money? That would be nice. I don't need a bigger house? That would be nice. I don't need another car? That would be nice. I don't need another degree? That would be nice. But what I need is something that's powerful. What I need is the name of Jesus. What I need is the power of God. That's what I need. Because a new car can't heal cancer, but Jesus can. A new degree can't take care of my disease, but Jesus can. I need power. His power at work in my life. And so it's interesting that Paul originally wanted this pain to be removed. He wanted it to be absent, but God wanted his power to be present. So let me give us some spiritual formational things, and what I mean by that is having an understanding of God in a greater way. If God has not removed it, it's because he plans on using it. And I know many of us, and I've walked through this, where we've been praying for, God, would you do this, and God, would you do that, and we should pray those prayers. But I want you to know that even if he does not respond in the way he, let me say it like this, let me back up. He always responds to your prayer. Because that's what he did with Paul. But he may not always respond the way that you and I want. But check this out. If he doesn't do it the way that we want, it's because he has something better that he wants to get to us. And it may not be in the way that we want, but it's going to work according to his will. And the Bible talks about how his will is perfect. And it is good, and it is pleasing. And Romans 8 says that he works all things out for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. I want you to know that if God has not answered the prayer in the way that you want him to, it does not mean he is not good. It means that he has good on the way. And you know what that good is called? Grace. Power. So if he ain't removed it, it's because he plans on using it to show his goodness, to show his power. To show how incredible he is. I want you to write this down. Here's what the Bible says. Or better yet, Hebrews 4:16, it says it like this. Let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God, because there we will receive his mercy and he will find grace to help us when we need it most. I love this scripture. This is a scripture that I hold near and dear to my heart, because I don't know about you, but there's plenty of times in my life where I walk through things where I need his grace and I find myself in need. But he says, come boldly before his throne. The throne of our gracious God. There's that word again, grace. Because there we will find mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. You need grace. You need his power. And let me help us understand something about God's grace. Because as we've been talking about this word abundance, it's easy to kind of fall into the trap of thinking that abundance means prosperity and just limiting it to that. And it's not that that's incorrect, that's just incomplete. Because God's grace does not just help us to prosper, it also helps us to persevere. And I don't know about you, I don't just need his prospering grace. I need his persevering grace. There's grace that will help me through some rough moments and some rough patches. this grace that will help me when you feel like giving up, this grace that will help you when you feel like throwing in the towel. His grace not only helps you to prosper, it helps you to persevere, and God is able to cause his grace to overflow. You want me to tell you a prayer that God always answers? The prayer for more grace. 1,000%. Always. He's always looking to give more grace. Because you know what that means? It means that you recognize that you can't do it on your own. Which is why the Bible says that he opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. The one who recognizes their need for him. And here's what I want you to understand. God is not short on grace. Matter of fact, here's what Peter says in 2 Peter 1:2. May grace and peace, watch this, be, say it with me, multiplied. Y'all realize that God's math is different than our math. The way he multiplies don't make earthly sense at all. So the Bible says things like one can chase 1,000, but two can put 10,000 to flight. What in the world kind of math is that? That's kingdom arithmetic. Because in the kingdom, things don't function the way that earth functions. And he makes his grace multiply. You know what that word multiply? It means to run over, which means his grace will constantly run over and over and over and over and over. And I just want to know, is anybody here today that's like, I need the grace to run over in my life. I need the grace to run over in my marriage. I need the grace to run over in my career. I need the grace to run over with my parenting. I need the grace to run over with my body and with my health in every area of my life. I need his grace to run over. So here's what I've been getting to pray. Lord, it'd be great to have more of this, but I need more of your grace. That's what I need. You can ask God for more money. I'm asking him for more grace. Because here's what I've learned about God. When you pray for that, other stuff begins to come with it. Can I help you understand? Maybe you're praying for the wrong thing. When you begin to pray kingdom principles, then what happens is you get the riches of the kingdom. So Jesus says like this in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will follow and be provided for you. And I'm here to let you know, family, when you begin to pray kingdom principles and when you begin to say, God, I just need your grace, would you smooth this out with your grace? Would you apply grace to my friendships? Would you apply grace to my relationships? God, I need your grace. I can't do this on my own. I can't work this job on my own. God, I can't love this person on my own. God, I can't be faithful in this area on my own. God, I need your grace. Every single time when I get up here to preach on Sunday, I pray the same prayer in the back before I come. God, I need your grace. People do not need to hear me. They need to hear you. So I need your grace to flow out of me so that way they can receive your grace. Because grace enables you to be able to do things that don't make sense in the natural. Grace enables you to be able to grab a slingshot and sling it around multiple times and knock down a giant. Grace allows you to be able to walk around the walls of Jericho multiple days and multiple times, and then all of a sudden stuff begins to fall. Grace is able to show up that even when Abraham is told by God, sacrifice your son Isaac, then God says, no, don't do it. I got a ram in the bush to sacrifice instead. Grace begins to show up, and when grace shows up and when power shows up, things begin to change, lives begin to change, needs begin to get met. I need his grace. And if you got his grace, you can make it. It don't matter what it is. Pastor, you don't know what I'm facing. No, you're right, but God does. And you know what he says? My grace is sufficient. Pastor, you don't know what I'm dealing with that word. You're right, God does. And you know what he says to you? My grace is sufficient. Pastor, you don't know the challenges I have with parenting these kids. Everybody says they have challenging kids, but mine are different. That's what some of us say. My grace is sufficient. My grace is enough. It doesn't matter. You don't think that my grace is enough? Like, if I could beat death on the third day, you don't think my grace is enough? You don't think I got enough power to deal with this? My grace is sufficient. And if you walked in here today and you feel powerless, I want you to know you're a perfect candidate for his grace. If you walked in here like me on a roller coaster, like, I don't know how I'm going to make it. He says, my grace is sufficient. You will make it. Not just you can make it. You will make it. That's the prophetic word I'm leaving with you today. That's the word that some of you need to hear right now. Not that you can, but that you will. And it's not because of your strength. That's why the Bible says, it's not by power, it's not by might, but it's by my spirit. It's by my power. It's by my ability. And I'm here to let you know, family, when you stop leaning on your own strength and you start leaning on the power of God and the grace of God, God will begin to blow your mind and do things that do not make sense. God will begin to mess up doctors' reports where they said one thing and then they called back about another thing. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or imagine according to the power that's at work in us. I'm here to let you know you got access to a power that can get you through no matter what it is that you're walking through. His grace is sufficient. And so because of this abundant grace that Paul has learned about, that Paul has now received through Christ, he now has a different perspective. He says, so in spite of my difficulties, I love this. I'm grateful for this word. Because it's easy to think that following Christ means that I'm not going to deal with anything. And if I go through hardships, that means God is not good. No, his grace works in good and in bad. Paul, y'all, was shipwrecked. Paul had been flogged. But yet he says, I count it all a loss for the sake of Christ. Because when I'm weak, then I'm strong. I want you to know, family, I don't care what you're up against right now. You can make it because of his grace, because of his power. I know what they said. But I know what he said. I know what it says. But I know what this says. And I got promises from cover to cover that say God is on my side. From Genesis to Revelation, that God is faithful and that he is good and that his grace is still sufficient. I want you to know, I don't care what you're facing, his grace is sufficient. His grace is enough. As a matter of fact, it's not just enough. It's more than enough. You know what? You ain't got to be enough. Because he is. That's why he's called Jehovah Jireh. He meets our needs. Whatever you and I stand in need of. He has it. And here's what he does. This is my second point. He provides it for you. He provides what you need to make it. And he's offering that to you. He says, my grace is sufficient. Tap into it. It's free. Lean into it. Stop trying to do it by yourself. I got you. And I may not do exactly what you want me to do, how you want me to do it, but I promise you I'll do something better. You'll see an element of my grace that you've never seen before. We don't know if Paul, I'm closing with this thought, we don't know if Paul lived with this thorn the rest of his life. We don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. He could have died with this. I don't know. We don't know if he endured this the rest of his ministry. We don't know if he may have continued in the same struggle. We don't know if the pain left him, but what we do know is who was with him through the pain. So here's what I'm going to say to you. I can't put an expiration date on pain and struggle that you feel. What I do know is that his grace never goes bad. And that his grace works. And I'm a living witness. And so is Paul. You know what I love about thorns? Remember what I told you about biblical language? This is why studying the scriptures is so important. This is why coming to church is so important. This is why getting in the connect group when we start those up in February is so important, because we study the scriptures, we have fun, we laugh, we joke, all that good stuff. But you gotta always pay attention to scripture, because what does Paul call his pain? A thorn. Well, when I think about that, my mind goes back to another time in scripture where thorn was mentioned. One time in particular when the Bible says that Jesus, as he was on the cross, he had a crown of thorns placed on him. And this crown of thorns was placed on him. Blood began to run down. And you know what that's a picture of? Jesus overcoming the thorns of life. Which means this, family, that Jesus can help us endure our thorns because he overcame his. I can help you, Paul, because I've been where you are. Which is why the Hebrews writer in chapter 4 says that we don't have a high priest who can't sympathize with us. He says, I know what it's like to suffer. You suffering? I know what it's like to go through stuff. But I've overcome it all. And here's the good news. He says, and because I've overcome it all, I want to give you access to that as well. So that now in Christ, you know that you're more than a conqueror. That now you can say like Paul, that I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. That in Christ Jesus, greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. It means that now because of his grace and I tapping into his grace, that it doesn't matter what I face, it doesn't matter what I walk through, it doesn't matter what I deal with, I got access to his life. His life that overcame the thorns, the pain, the darkness. I want everybody to stand to our feet in this moment. I believe many of us are here today. And you're walking through some painful moments, some thorny moments. Can I help you understand something? That the thorns of life are invitations to the throne of God. That the thorns that you feel is actually an invitation to draw closer to him. And I want to help you also understand something about God's grace. That his grace does not just help you get by. It also helps you to get through. I want you to know that his all-sufficient grace, family, will help you get through. And I just sense that I'm looking, I feel like some of you all are here. I feel like God is revealing this. And you're walking through some painful moments right now. You're dealing with some painful moments. So much to where you've questioned this whole word of abundance. You're like, man, Pastor, I want you to know that God's grace is sufficient. I want to encourage you, whatever it is that you're walking through right now, however hard it is right now, it might be a class right now that you're taking in college. It might be some friends that you're dealing with at school. It might be something that you received this week. It might be a call that you got. I believe that God sent me here today to let you know you're going to make it. Not just you can make it, you will make it. You will make it. You will make it. Come on, I want you to begin to speak this over your life. I will make it. I will make it. Come on, come on. I want you to say it so you believe it. I will make it. I will make it. Because his grace is sufficient, because his power is at work, because he is for me, not against me. I will make it because Christ is with me. Make it. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus for every single person in here who's walking through hardship, who finds themselves dealing with thorns right now, wondering if they can make it through it. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that they would know today that they can make it through whatever it is that they're facing right now. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that they would know that you are with them. And that your grace is sufficient. In Jesus' name, my head's bowed and eyes are closed. Some of you are here today. And you've been trying to walk through life on your own. Meaning this, you've done it disconnected from God. You've done it outside of a relationship with God. But today, I want you to know, family, that the only way that you and I can not just have our sins cleansed and washed away and be forgiven, the only way that you and I can walk through the highs and lows of life is by the power of God. And the way that we get access to that is through a relationship with God. And some of you are here today and you don't have a relationship with God. You got a relationship with church, but you don't have a relationship with God. You've come to church for years, but you've never asked Jesus into your heart. You never asked him into your life. you've never received him as Lord and as Savior, if you're here today and you're saying, Pastor Edwin, I want to receive Christ today. I want a relationship with him. I want to invite him into my life. I want to say yes to Jesus today. I don't want to do life on my own any longer. No, I want to receive Christ. I want my sins forgiven. I want to be able to walk in the abundant life that he has for me. I want to be able to walk in freedom and liberty. I want to be able to walk in his power. If that's you today and you're saying, I want a relationship with Christ, all I want you to do on the count of three is to shoot up your hand. I just want to see you. I'm not going to ask you to come to the front. I just want to see you. I'm just going to pray in just a moment. But if that's you and you're saying, today, I want to say yes to him. And if you feel something tug at you on your heart, that is the Holy Spirit drawing you to himself. So if that's you, you're saying, I want a relationship with Christ today. On the count of three, raise your hand. 1, 2, 3. If that's you, amen. 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 Come on, doesn't matter who you are. Amen. Amen. And if you lifted up your hand, I want you to say these words. It's a prayer of faith. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you rose back to life to give me new life. Jesus, be my Lord. Jesus, be my Savior. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your love. In your name I pray. And everyone said amen. Come on, church family, can we put our hands together and celebrate? Come on, celebrate new life in Christ. Hey, but while we celebrate it, I want us to celebrate in advance. You're going to make it through whatever it is that you're walking through right now. Come on, this will not be the end of you. Come on, you are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Come on, you will overcome. You will persevere. You will endure. Because his grace is sufficient. His grace is more than enough. And may God make his grace multiply in your life. May he make it overflow in your life. This is the year of abundance where we expect God to overflow our cups of life with more of his grace. And we're going to walk in it. And that is for you in Jesus' name. And if you prayed that prayer to give Christ your life today, that connection card that I asked you to fill out, I want you to check the box that says, I'm committing my life to Christ. Fill that out. Drop that in the Dropbox on your way out because we want to connect with you. We want to serve you. We want to love you. And most of all, we want to say welcome home. Welcome to the Bridge family. Church family, can we bless God for our new family members? Come on. Amen. I feel led to do something just to close us out in a special way. We're going to close out in prayer. This 21 days of prayer and fasting. We're going to seek God in great ways, do different things, be led by his Spirit. So I'm going to pray in a moment, but before I pray, if you're here, you want to honor God with your giving, our team, I have that on the screen. You can give online. You can give in person using an envelope, drop it in the drop box on your way out. Our newcomers lunch is happening right after service today, and we want you to stick around. Be here. If you're new here to the Bridge, don't leave, man. We want to connect with you. We want to love you. We want to serve you. So we would love just to be here, just to meet you and to provide some good food and some fellowship time to connect with you. But then lastly, also, for those of us who are here today and you're saying, I want to begin to use my gifts. I want to serve. I want to make a difference. And I want to be able to help others come to know Christ. A great way for that to happen is through what we call our connect groups, where we begin to do life with one another. And we're looking for people who will say, Pastor, sign me up. I want to host a group. And hosting a group doesn't mean you got to know all the scriptures in the Bible. It doesn't mean that you got to have all these doctoral degrees in Jesus and stuff. It just means, do you love Jesus? Do you like people? Do you like food? Get together. Do something fun. Create some space. And so here's what we're asking. We're looking for at least five of you who will say, I want to host a group. It could be online. It could be in person at the house, Panera, wherever. But if you're interested, we would love to be able to share more about that with you. So we're having our Connect Group host training this Wednesday here on site at 6 o'clock p.m. We want you to go online to our website, thebridgechurchva.com/group. Sign up so that way we can know that you're coming. But we're praying and we're asking God to raise up and to stir in the hearts of people. So that way we can create more smaller gatherings in our church. As our church continues to grow larger, we want to continue to grow smaller at the same time. And the way that we do that is by connecting us to one another. Amen? So I'm praying God convicts some of you all who've been sitting on your gifts, that you would make the move and realize that his grace is sufficient for you to do it. And here's what I know. Your act of obedience will help set somebody else free. I'm a living witness of it. And so I want to encourage you to do that. Did I get everything? Is that everything? Awesome. Cool. This is what I want to do. It's 11:41. I know our kids team is like, Pastor Edwin, he's preaching long again. My gosh, come get these kids. Save us. But I want to pray in this moment for some of you right now who are facing some difficult things, and you're like, I don't know how I'm going to make it. I've heard this word. I want to apply this word, but I want this word to be sealed. And I want to take steps of faith, and I want as much prayer as possible. If this is you today and you're saying, I want prayer, and I want to walk in the fullness of God, and I'm walking through something difficult, but I want to walk in the fullness of God, I want to invite you to come to the front. I'm going to pray right here. We're going to close out service just like this. But I'm going to invite you, step out the aisles if that's you. You're saying today, I'm walking through something difficult. I'm walking through something hard. Amen. Amen. I want y'all to know, family, that the church is a hospital. Y'all do realize that, right? Like, this is the place where we come, we connect to receive intercession. Amen. Y'all can fill in this area right here. Just make room. And if you're online, drop some prayer requests in the comment section. We would love to be able to serve you as well. And for those of us who are here in person, if you got prayer requests, on that connection card, there's an area for that. Write a prayer request down. Our prayer team would love to intercede for you. We do it every single week. But some of you are walking through some things right now. And maybe you've got some news recently. You're like, man, I don't know how I'm going to make it. God sent this word ahead of you to let you know you will. Amen. And that you can make it. Amen. And we're going to seal it right now in prayer. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for my brothers and sisters right now who may feel discouraged, who have wrestled with doubt, who have even wrestled with defeat this week, who are facing things right now that are unthinkable, things that they may not have even shared with anybody. I pray right now, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you would strengthen them with your grace. Because you have said in your word, Jesus, that your grace is sufficient and that your power is made perfect in weakness, which means there is an element of your power that we see when we are weak. So, Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, God, that your power would flow through every ounce of your people here today. God, I pray over needs right here. I pray in the name of Jesus for our brothers and sisters online. I pray in Jesus' name that whatever we are standing in need of, God, God, I pray that you would meet that need with your grace, God. God, we pray freedom right now in the name of Jesus. God, we declare abundant grace over the lives of every person here today. God, we have said that this is the year of abundance and that we will walk in the abundant life that you have promised to give us, God. So, God, I pray in Jesus' name, God, that you will begin to shift things right now. God, I pray in Jesus' name that where the enemy has spoken one thing, that your word would overpower that in Jesus' name. God, I pray in Jesus' name that you will begin to reverse things, that you will begin to change things, that you will begin to bring forth healing, that you will begin to bring forth liberation, that you will bring forth breakthrough in Jesus' name. And we believe in faith, God, that not only can we make it, we believe that we will make it in Jesus' name. So, Lord, I pray that as we leave this place but never your presence, that we would leave full of hope. We would leave full of faith. But most of all, that we would leave full of grace. Your grace is enough. It's enough to get us through this week. It's enough to get us through tomorrow. It's enough to get us through this month. It's enough to get us through this year. No matter what we face, your grace is enough. No matter what we walk through, your grace is enough. No matter what we deal with, your grace is enough. We thank you and we love you in Jesus' name. And every person said amen. Come on, let's celebrate God for his grace. Come on, you gonna make it. Come on, tell the person beside you, you're gonna make it. In Jesus' name, God bless your family. Have an awesome week. Hug somebody on your way out. Newcomers lunch happening right after service. Stick around. Till I overflow.